Sometimes life is hard, and you just need someone to talk to. Someone who's been there and understands.
That it's about overcoming.
Inspiring others to be brave.
Friendship.
Faith.
Being real.
And living beautifully whole.
So kick back and spend some time with the girls on the Big Blue Couch. All right, welcome back to the Living Beautifully Whole podcast. I'm Coach Mandy.
And I'm Coach Rachel.
And our goal is to help you transform your relationships, your careers, and your lives. And that's a brand new tagline.
I'm so proud. I love the new tagline.
I do too.
I hope you guys do too, because we've kind of been going through a metamorphosis over the last 6 months or so.
We have
We have slowly and kind of all at once jumped into the business coaching and mentorship part of our company.
Yes.
And turns out we probably should have been doing that a long time ago, like Nate suggested, but we're ready now.
We are.
And because of that, it's changed some things and kind of brought a lot of clarity, I think, to others. And the podcast is one of them. And
yes.
I love this tagline because it fits everything we do.
It really does. And I think we have a lot of exciting things happening this
yes.
summer. We have our new Unwavering program that
yep.
is open, which now through June 18th, I think it is, you can get in on some introductory rates.
I don't remember
rates
the date, but it is not
yeah.
very long.
It's not very long. And that is for business coaching and VIP mentoring. So it's a group setting, and there's an option if you want to go deeper mm-hmm. where you get one-on-one coaching with Rachel and I for 6 months. We have our Steady On champions going strong.
Yep.
We are planning, I don't think we've actually said this yet, so should we say what's happening in August?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys, we are taking Beautiful Wholeness to Fargo, North Dakota.
Woohoo!
Yay! Who's excited about that?
I am so excited.
I am too. We've got our Facebook people. We're actually recording this live on Facebook
yep.
while we're recording the audio. And so all of our Facebook people, if you're excited for Beautiful Wholeness in Fargo, show us some love.
Yes.
We would love to see that. But we're really excited to do that.
It's at the Holiday Inn.
It's at the Holiday Inn.
Which is a gorgeous hotel.
I see
and
some love
so,
there.
You can spend the weekend in
yes.
Fargo.
And it's August 25th.
Yep, and this is
it's a Saturday all day.
All new content.
Yep, and for the first time ever, we're doing an evening session on
yeah.
that Saturday night, too.
I'm a little nervous about it.
I am, too.
Like that seems like a lot of teaching and speaking that day, but usually once we get to it, it's the adrenaline that keeps us going.
It is. Plus,
so
we're eating better, and we are taking care of ourselves
yes.
better. And I'm working out, so I'm not going to Yeti posture dance across the thing looking like an old lady.
I don't think I'm going to have to take a nap on your robe.
I don't think so.
Last
these are real things that have happened.
Beautiful Wholeness last August, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through some things, and I had to.
We show up even when life happens, because that's what an overcomer does.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't even able to drive, I think, 3 days before Beautiful Wholeness.
No, you were not.
Because I was getting used to some medication, so. But I was there.
You were. So, and I'm so proud of you.
I can't remember much of what happened that day, but
Beautiful Wholeness is one of my favorite. It's my favorite event to do.
Me too.
I absolutely love it. So hopefully we can see you there. And if we've never met you before, it'll be a great chance to meet.
Yes, absolutely. And Fargo's
so,
a really cool town to go hang out with for a weekend. And
I lived in Fargo for like 11 years. And I don't know why it's taken us 4 years to figure out to bring Beautiful Wholeness to Fargo.
Right.
Guess, you know how they say, like, when the teacher or when the student is ready, the teacher shows up?
Uh-huh.
I think that's what's happening with us.
Feels like it. LaDonna said she's excited for us.
Oh, awesome.
Thanks, LaDonna.
So, okay, today, episode 6 is called Dare to Lean In.
And what does that mean?
What are we going to talk about, Rachel?
Okay, well, we're going to talk about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about growth.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about what it really means to love hard.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to cover relationships, business, everything in your
everything.
Life. So, dive into the first one?
I think we should. Sorry for my coughing. It's a very humid day today. Deanne is giving us a huge thumbs up on our Facebook video right now. So, so vulnerability is something that's really kind of at the forefront of my life right now.
It's at the forefront of a lot of things happening right now, both personally and professionally here at the couch with a lot of our team.
It is.
With each other.
Hey, and Mindy. Great to see you here. So it really is one of those things that I think we've been doing this and living this out for many years.
Yeah.
Ourselves.
Absolutely.
And teaching our clients how.
Because it turns out you actually have to live what you teach if you want to be successful as a coach or a counselor or anything in the helping industries. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you that necessarily when you're going to school and getting your training, but they should.
Yeah.
They should tell you that you're going to have to live out what you teach, because that can get a little bit hard sometimes. But vulnerability, honestly, I think has been the thing, too, that because we do it has made us more successful in our lives and in our business.
Yes. And success looks different. Like, people mm-hmm. define that differently.
Yep.
And they should, because everybody's journey is their own.
Right.
And so it looks different for everybody. But the number one thing that we have 3 points today, and Rachel kind of covered them in a nutshell, but we're going to dig deeper into them. The first one is to lean in to vulnerability. Dare to lean into vulnerability. And if you need a book about this, the book Daring Greatly by Brené Brown is one of my favorites.
Is that the first one that she did in that like series of vulnerability? Because I just read Rising Strong.
Yeah.
But that was after Daring Greatly, right?
And okay. I think
so
she
if you've read Daring Greatly, go get Rising Strong, because that was the next step.
That's
to
the
that.
Next step.
Yep.
I read Daring Greatly in 2015. I know this because I date my books when I'm done with them. And
which is very smart to do.
It was a tradition I started with my grandma. Mm-hmm. We would share books with each other, and then we would initial it and date it when we finished it.
Yep.
And so I've just kept it up on my own. And Miss Maddie and I do that every now and then when we share books. We should do that with our book club when we start.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we're starting a bestie book club. But anyway, so I pulled this book out the other day, and I realized, wow, it's been 3 years since I read it. And I think it's time to read it again. I think this is the year where I'm reading books again that I read before.
Me too. I was just literally telling Mandy that this morning, that I pulled a book off my shelf because I am digging deep into not really a lie, probably. But anyway, I'm digging deep into the subject of shame and rejection. Mm-hmm. And I know it's something that I've talked about on the blog. We talk about it in Beautiful Wholeness. At the event, but I'm kind of digging into it in a personal level a little deeper than even last year when God was showing me some new things about that. And it was a book on my shelf that I swear I've had since I was in college. I think it was one of the books that I had to do for one of my counseling classes. Mm-hmm. And I know I read it because it's underlined. And I was like, I don't remember reading this book at all. If I had dated it, I probably could have been like, but the really interesting thing is the stuff that I underlined all those years ago do not pertain to me at all. And things that I'm underlining now are like, did I even read this the first time? So
that's how I feel sometimes.
I am definitely digging into what's on my bookshelf and reading it from a different perspective, because
Because you're a different person now.
Well, honestly, I think I read a lot of those books, if I'm being really honest and humble.
Invulnerable.
Trying to fix somebody else.
Yes.
And never from the perspective.
Oh, you guys, that is such a huge thing.
Never from the perspective of, what can I learn from this book? Because I can definitely tell from what I underlined. I had somebody else in mind that I was going to fix by reading this book.
I think that's a huge thing that makes it really challenging to dig into vulnerability and to dig into getting real about your feelings.
Yep.
Is a lot of times the situations that make us want to look at feelings are usually situations that include other people.
Yes.
And we usually have that filter of, I want to fix them.
Uh-huh.
But I think leaning into vulnerability and daring to lean in is to really look at it as, what can I learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do differently? I'm doing that right now with a situation in my life that I thought was dead and buried. It's not. And so I'm really looking at things through a new perspective, and some of it is digging into the past.
Yep.
A lot of it is, actually. But realizing that things that happened weren't all somebody else's fault.
Isn't that a great big piece of humble pie?
That's leaning into vulnerability right there.
Yes, because here's the thing. We say lean in because everything we're talking about is uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
It's the stuff that makes you want to stop because you might get hurt. You might dig up things that you thought were dead and buried. And you know what happens when you pull Band-Aids off of wounds? They start bleeding again.
Yep.
And that stuff sucks. If it does. We're going to be honest about it, but that's why we say lean in, because here's the thing. You don't bury things. When you bury things alive, they don't necessarily die, especially when it's grief or situations that you need to be working through. They somehow figure out how to come back up. They're like zombies.
They are.
They keep coming back up out of the ground and saying, here I am. Deal with me.
Lucky you. And I think that you have to be willing to dig.
Yes.
You have to be willing. You know, we see this with clients when we work one-on-one. I think it's easier to see it one-on-one than it is in a group setting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But when we work one-on-one with people, you can tell right away how big a breakthrough somebody is going to get based on how many excuses they have about whose fault it was.
Right. Yep. This is so true.
Isn't it? And it doesn't matter whose fault it was. Yet you can't control another person. Mm-hmm. You can't change them. And they very well may have made choices that made a situation difficult. However, you can stop and look at it and say, okay, wait a minute, though. What did I do to contribute to all of it? Not even knowing that I was contributing.
Right, exactly.
Because I think a lot of times we don't realize the consequences of our own habits and our own thoughts and our own words. And we can sometimes think that we see the right path so clearly and not realize that because of things like personality traits and communication skills,
family
or
origin.
Lack of skills. Yeah. All those different things relate to how a situation goes when you're not digging in.
Yep, absolutely.
So
lean into vulnerability.
Lean into vulnerability.
One. Second one is lean into the discomfort of growth.
Oh, growing is so uncomfortable.
If you guys on the podcast could see us, we're both rolling our eyes.
It's
our friends in Facebook can see it, because growth is not comfortable.
It is
there
not.
There is nothing comfortable about growth. And it reminds me of my poor kiddos when they're like going through growth spurts and they wake up crying in the middle of the night because of growing pains. Like, those are little manifestations of growth.
Mm-hmm.
But we have that, whether it's spiritual growth or in your mental health that you're growing or in your relationships that you're growing. There are growing pains.
There are.
When it comes to that. And if you don't lean into that discomfort, you stop growing.
You do. And I think, okay, so I'm leaning into the discomfort of growth right now physically because I'm working out with a trainer. April Lund is my trainer here in Bismarck. She's amazing. She pushes me. She makes me laugh. She keeps me accountable. She challenges me, and she speaks life into me.
That's a great...
And
well-rounded coach.
It is.
Have.
And she does it in ways that I didn't realize. Like, she's speaking life into me in a way that I didn't realize I needed, and reminding me who I am, and reminding me that I'm stronger than I think I am. And I needed somebody like that. So thanks, April, if you're watching.
Yep.
But leaning into the discomfort of that growth is physically painful.
Yeah.
It
makes you
around.
Not want to walk upstairs.
No.
Last night we were at...
Where were we?
We were all hanging together as couples at Mandy and Nate's house last night. And at one point she was stretching out her pelvis in the living room because that muscle gets
it
so tight.
It was so tight. And we had been scrunched up on the patio in these chairs. And I was just like, I can't even. And leaning into that discomfort, like when you are working out, I always think that exercise is such a great... visual for any of this life stuff because these concepts are not always tangible.
No, they're not. And you can, like, you know what stretching feels like.
Right.
Especially when you're in pain, there's nothing quite like stretching to alleviate some of that physical pain. Well, stretching yourself emotionally helps you grow emotionally too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all part of it.
It is. And I think really leaning into the discomfort of physical growth is important because I have a choice. I can give up and say, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
Or I can lean into it and grow stronger, which I am.
Yes, you are.
I think my body is physically stronger right now than it's ever been.
That's amazing.
And it feels amazing, and half the time it also hurts.
This is very true.
But that's life.
I'm just now leaning into getting some physical discomfort in my life because I spent the last year working on my emotional and my spiritual thing, and I wrote a blog post about this not that long ago about how I think I was wrong in my approach where I was only really doing one at a time. And we're like human beings, and we're all things at once.
Yeah.
And when you only work on one, then you're weak in other areas. Mm-hmm. And if you're weak in one area, you're not really strong in any of them.
No.
And so I got a bike.
You're bike people too now, huh?
Yeah.
I got a bike last year, and I love it.
I do too. The boyfriend decided that we should, that he's going to get me a bike. He got me a bike for an anniversary gift. And at first I was like, I don't want a bike. And we went on one bike ride, and I'm like literally hooked. I think about it now, like how to get it into my schedule to get on the bike. And we are working on getting our Labrador to run beside us with the bike. She's still kind of a puppy, and she's still very excited, and she's going to make somebody die. So if you got any tips for that, I would love to hear how to get your dog to run beside you without killing you in the process. But I like it. I'm not sure why, but I think it reminds me of childhood a little bit, like that freedom you get on a bike. Plus, two of the three of my kids are like learning new skills in their bike riding this summer. I think the littlest is going to get her training wheels off.
Yay.
And the second one has been scared to death of riding a bike and finally got on it this summer. So all of a sudden we have all this freedom with biking, and I'm excited to start the physical thing again because it's been a long time, and I kind of think maybe most of my life I've never done all three well, where I'm working on emotional, spiritual, and physical all
now
at the same
time.
Yep.
We're just leveling up.
I think so.
I love it.
I think so. And you got to lean into the discomfort.
You do. And I think business-wise, we're leaning into the discomfort of growth.
Yes.
Because we've had to have some hard conversations. That was a ton of fun.
Yep.
A couple weeks ago, we had a lot of hard team conversations, hard owner conversations. And we worked through it. We pressed through. We set up boundaries and procedures.
Yep.
But it wasn't
like
fun.
To set up systems after, you know, something.
That's
something
how you
happened.
Know.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't know until you know.
No. And now everything's so much healthier too because
right, it
of
is.
It.
So, it is. So lean
it
in. So okay, we've got some of our Facebook people making comments. So LaDonna said she needs to read those books. Yes,
yes.
You do, LaDonna.
Yep.
And then Jen says she loves Brené Brown, and she just read Braving the Wilderness. That's the third one. That's
Right. Is that the newest one? Yep. I haven't read that one either.
But I really need to go back to Daring Greatly because it's whoa. I underlined so much in that book.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I'm a big underliner too.
Hey Annette,
I don't even like giving my books out because they're so a part of me.
We don't share our books.
They're like journals.
Yeah.
So
okay, we've talked about leaning into vulnerability. We've talked about leaning into the discomfort of growth. And the third thing is leaning into loving hard.
What does that mean?
Okay, so how do I explain how this came about? I have a friend that had mentioned this when we were having a conversation about something. And I love it because this is something that I think about often.
Yep.
Like, I've heard Sandy Krakowski say, work hard, love hard, rest hard.
Yep.
Like, do all of that. And that's really how I see my life. Like, I want all of that. But I've come to realize that I think a lot of times we think that loving hard means all the good things.
Right.
Like all the good feeling things. And when
the good parts of the
mouth. Yes. The good parts of loving. And then I stopped to think about the times where I had to love hard and where it stretched me to lean in and love even harder in the good moments.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments of our lives, and I say ours because I think that maybe we haven't talked about this, but I think that the seasons where I had to learn how to love hard and it stretched me are very similar to your seasons.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of the seasons where I really learned how to love hard, it was in 2012 when we were all going through really hard times and we all made choices to either stick around and love each other through the chaos and the mud and the uncertainty and
the morass.
The morass. Tell them what that means.
It's a boggy place.
It's a real word.
It's a real word. And it talks about your emotions and one of the definitions, but it really is like a boggy, murky, icky place.
Yeah. 2012 was a morass.
That was a morass.
And
that's definitely what it is. It's a great word to use. It's your vocab lesson for
it is. And
the week.
And I think loving hard, like that was a season where, and Maddie and I even talk about it too, where that was a season where I could have died. I was mm-hmm. very close to it. And that's yep. not,
that's not exaggerating.
I know I'm dramatic sometimes and I make dramatic points. That's not an exaggeration. Right. I think if I would have looked in the mirror that day and May is, well, now it's June, yeah. but last month was a hard month for me because I realized it was a grief anniversary.
We had a lot of grief
anniversaries. And I realized that it was hard for me because 6 years ago was the month where I spent pretty much the entire month of May mm-hmm. in the hospital fighting for my life. And what I'm experiencing now is the result of not giving up then.
Right.
And that's a real sobering, mm-hmm. humble thought to think about. And so I think loving hard is one of those things where you're going to want to give up.
And I think, too, this is bigger than romantic love, right?
Completely. This isn't even romantic love. This is
even
everything.
In your business, if yes. you don't, like, if you are one of those people who's an entrepreneur like mm-hmm. us, or you're building a career, loving hard through those seasons where everything is against yes. you, but you believe in this goal, you believe in this company, you believe in what you're doing, mm-hmm. That's part of it. Like, this loving hard has to be in all areas of your life. And I love the way you wrote down here. It says loving hard is hard.
It is hard. It challenges you. And mm-hmm. I don't think you can love romantically hard until you know how to love unconditionally in every other area. Like, as a friend.
I bet you're right.
I don't think you can, because I didn't learn that lesson until 2012. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2017, that was a hard, loving year. Like, that was leaning into loving hard last year, helping you go yes. through all of that and going through the grief process. Yep. And even 2018 has been a year of loving hard. Mm-hmm. It's been, I think this year has been a year of loving hard career-wise.
I agree.
And in all of that.
Yep. I honestly agree with you. I think this is one of those years, like, that you look back on mm-hmm. the years that you wanted to give up.
Yes, and this goes down in the books.
Right, and then this goes, you know, and it's a little bit different than maybe one of the years where you're like, oh gosh, I did almost die. That didn't happen.
No.
In this last year. But I think a lot of things died. It had to be like burned off yeah. and all of that, and things got, you got a lot of clarity out yes. of it, you get a lot of refinement out of that, but gosh, is it hard mm-hmm. to love each other through the discomfort, to love each other through the growth, to love each other through the vulnerability,
yeah,
to love each other hard enough that you're still all standing together at the end,
yes.
whether it's romantically or in a friendship or in a business, mm-hmm. to walk through that.
Or in family.
Family, yep,
I
absolutely.
Mean, you have to make that decision that you're going to stay. Mm-hmm. And what, like, Maddie and I talk about this because in 2012, she wasn't sure that she could stay to watch what possibly happened to me.
Yep.
Because it was going to hurt her too much. And loving hard hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts because you don't know, you don't have a guarantee of the outcome.
No, absolutely.
No matter what it looks like.
Right.
Like, what relationship or mm-hmm. context you're loving, mm-hmm. you don't have a guarantee. And right. that's why it's hard.
Right, and I've often said I will never regret, even though the marriage ended in divorce, I will never regret the fact that it started in the first place, the mm-hmm. fact that I poured into it what I needed to pour mm-hmm. into it and what I got out of it. Like, there's never going to be any regret there.
Right.
There'll be, you know, it ended a way I never thought it was going to. And leaning into what it looks like now as mm-hmm. a family, because we're still family.
Right.
It doesn't look the same as it used to, but we share children. We'll always be family. And that's a season we're definitely walking through right now. Mm-hmm. And learning how to love hard and what does that mean to somebody that's hurt you, that's Ooh, a fun new level of loving hard. So, yeah, that's definitely a season. I think that's been a season we've been in for a while, and I think it's one of the most fruitful seasons.
It is.
At the same time. Like,
it is.
It's dying and bearing fruit at the same time. I'm hoping you guys understand the symbolism
yeah.
that we're using here, because it's sometimes hard to put into words.
It is. And I would have to say that I'm learning that with you mm-hmm. because there was a friendship there mm-hmm. with your ex-husband, and learning how to love somebody where they're at, and that's just a very fascinating
yep.
thing. It's not easy.
No.
It is not easy. And at the same time, it's beautiful and messy. And
yep.
chaotic and...
It's what love is supposed to be.
It is. Love is not supposed to be like a Disney movie or like, you know, whatever romantic comedy you think it is. Nobody ever figures it out in 2 hours.
No. I mean, that whole chaos in the middle, that's what it's like. But we don't get to the resolution.
We don't get to the resolution.
As quick as it does in a movie.
And living happily ever after does not mean it's all rainbows.
Nope.
And sunshine.
Mm-mm.
And it shouldn't be. And so we want to leave you with this challenge today to dare to lean in.
Mm-hmm.
Dare to lean into the vulnerability, even if it scares you. In fact, the more that it scares you, the more you know you're on the right path.
Absolutely.
So lean into that vulnerability. Lean into the discomfort of that growth. And lean into loving hard, whatever that looks like. And chances are it's not going to look like how you think it should.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
It is okay.
Yep.
So we want to thank you for hanging out with us on the Living Beautifully Whole podcast. We will be with you again next month.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of our Facebook viewers out there, we just want to thank you for watching this behind-the-scenes footage. And we can't wait to connect with you more online. If you would like some free downloads to help you live, lean into the vulnerability and the growth and loving hard. Well, we've got a couple different downloads on our website, so you can go to bigbluecouchcoaching.com and click on the free resources button, and you'll be able to get either one of them. We have one for life and one for business. So
get them both.
Yes. So that concludes our podcast for the day. I don't think I've ever said that phrase before.
Nope.
Probably not.
So.
All right. You guys have a wonderful week, and we can't wait to see you again next month.
Bye.